You are listening to the Transformation Table Podcast, where we talk about God's business.
Oh, Father God, this morning, as we sit around your table, Lord, we know there's one very important thing, and that's to discuss your business. And Lord, as people are sitting around your table this morning to discuss your word, Holy Spirit, we invite you to be upon the lips, go forth and spread the word that brings life to everyone that hears it. So this morning we hand this meeting over to you, Lord Jesus, and we ask you, just bless your people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ken. Yeah, Flex, so we've got the ladies' camp this weekend coming, we've got 120 ladies coming to the campfire camp. Yeah. So you can imagine that if you hear the little bit of a whimper in my voice, that is because of fear that we've got it's a task. So we're looking forward to
it. He's one of the few men at a ladies' camp. Some oaks have all the luck, eh?
Yeah, you must keep in mind, Peter, when I came back from my border duty, I was there for 18 months, and my base was the Denota Air Force Training Base. And because those guys have been together so long, when they would come in the morning greeting, they would say, good morning, goeiemôre manne en menso. So, you know, I might not be all that man, you know, identifying problems here. So, guys, you'll see that, in any case, before we start that, welcome to everybody on the transformation table this morning. It's great to see all the faces. I really missed you guys last week. And, of course, good morning or whatever time you are listening to the podcast or where you're listening or clocking in. Welcome to sitting around the transformation table with us and discussing God's business. You got it down there, Ken. You'll see that Henry is not with us this morning. He's in Bloemfontein. He's busy with a lot of things, and he asked to be excused. But I've got something that I'm very excited about this morning that I want to discuss. And it's sort of a lead up to next week, Thursday's morning discussion. One of our friends in the 300 has written a book on doing business God's way, of kingdom building business, and he's going to come and chat to us a little bit next week, Thursday. His name is Leon, and I'm looking forward to that. Freek, I might need a little bit of help with setting up Leon. That he can show his things on Zoom. But I'm looking forward to that because there's some serious stuff there. So I want to give us a little bit of a prelude this morning. And if you guys will allow me, I just want to quickly read for us a verse that touched my heart. You know, and I'm realizing more and more, it's not about business, not about making money. You know, there's lots of things of, when you do business God's way, money is one of the rewards. You know, it's like Peter, we were talking about the fruits and the blessings and the gifts. You know, there's not just one. There's in each one of these categories, there's many. And you know, building business God's way has got many blessings, things that you don't even see coming. So if I quickly could read for us, don't laugh, but I had to look up what is the English of handelinge. For some reason, I could not find it. It took me a bit of time, but it's Acts 20, verse 35. And I'm actually going to read from verse 33 to 35 out of the Message Bible. I've never, as you so well know, had any taste for wealth or fashion. With these bare hands, I took care of my own basic needs and those who worked with me. In everything I've done, I've demonstrated to you how necessary it is to work on behalf of the weak and not exploit them. You'll not likely go wrong here if you keep remembering what our master said. You're far happier giving than getting. And the reason why why this is touching me, one of the guys that went with me this past weekend has been a friend since we became friends in Standard 8. For the people that's much younger than us, that's what, grade 10. Fritz, you've got young kids in school, grade 10. And he was telling me, and this is a tough story, he was telling me when he went, his dad passed away a couple of years ago from cancer, and he had to go and make all the arrangements. And when he got to the mortuary, his dad's hand was visible from under the blanket. And he saw these hands that is, when a man works hard, his hands get those funny fingers, and you can see it's working hands. And he saw his dad's hands sticking out, and he said, "These are the hands that worked so hard. Those hands look like that because they worked so hard to provide for me a good life." The privileged life that I led was because of these hands working hard, and I realized, and I knew his dad well. I've got a massive amount of respect for Wimpoti, and I knew that he is a man that worked hard all his life and without fear. I sat one day. We were just going into army just after matric. And he sat there, we visited him in his office, and there's a big children's home in Boksburg. And he said, "These children need gifts, Christmas gifts." So he phoned his big suppliers, and he said, "Guys, we had good business this year. If you want to do business next year, I'm planning on buying some gifts for the kids. Make sure I've got a check on my desk before the end of the day." And it came up to a decent amount of money by the end of the day. And the kids got spoiled. Yeah. And that's the type of dude that he was. Now, building. And I can call you guys out like this. I don't want to make everybody blush like I did with Ken this morning. But Ken, it's about building. It's about building. Yeah. Building relationships, building networks, building the fun is not the money at the end of the day. It's the building and the creating around you. While I was thinking this morning, I realized there in Genesis 1, and you guys will remember the couple of verses where God said, "Let's quickly just put together a budget before we do this creation thing. Make sure we can make it work." You know which verses I'm talking about. Frederick, if you don't mind, can you bring them up on the screen first, please? Those verses where God, before he started creation, said, let's put the budget together and first see if we can get it going. you're not going to find them, Frederick. Frederick, you can jump in here and maybe tell the guys, but when you started with your ministry, and Frederick, you see it as a business. It has to be seen as God's business. Doesn't matter if it is making cans of food or baking bread. If your foundation is God, then it's God's business.
Yeah.
Tell us quickly how you started with calculating your budget before you started your business?
By God, guys, there was no budget. The only thing I had at one stage was 1 cent. So I'll share my 1 cent story sometime with you. It's quite a long story. But driven by passion, driven by love for the lost and the broken. It's like when the woman came and washed the Lord's feet, he said to Simon, a guy that was a leper but forgot what he was, he said to him, those who are forgiven much love much. Now, if you know, like myself, because I know what the Lord has forgiven me of, and it was difficult to get over it, but because of that love for him and gratitude towards him, it's just like you want to, it's not like you must build the kingdom. It's just in you. You want to build this kingdom. It's your, when you wake up, it's like, how can I build the kingdom today? How can I let the kingdom come into people's lives? And if I had to look at the budget, I would have never been, I don't want to say where I am now and sound like I'm somebody. It's like that song says, God takes a nobody and makes him a somebody. But I want to tell anybody about him. And but it's coming back to when I went to the Bible and I wanted to see where in the Bible was the first time a prison was mentioned or somebody went to a prison. One of my heroes in the Bible, Joseph, was the first guy in the Bible who went to a prison, and he was innocent. He was innocent, but it was God's will for him to go to the prison because it was part of the training, part of the preparation. And wherever he went, the favor of God went with him. And his name means God will add on. God will build. God will build. If David says to his son Solomon, is it Psalm 127? He says, if the Lord doesn't build the house, it is in vain. You can't build it. And you often hear so many people, I've builded my business. I've builded this. I've builded my church. No. It's God who builded it. Through you, and give him the glory and the honor. And if you look at Joseph's life, how he is the first one that will tell us, never despise a small beginning. Never despise, because God doesn't call you to be famous, he calls you to be faithful. And if you are faithful in the little, then he will add on. He will build it further. So if God starts something, he will finish it. If we start something, you're going to burn out. You're going to take over. So from the beginning, I just had this desire to go and tell a guy in Guzo prison that the Lord loved him. The Lord sent me to him to tell him that he loves him. And I walked out of the prison. I only had 40 rand in my pocket. I paid it onto his property, as they call it in the prison, into his account for him. And I walked out of that prison, Guzo prison, and I cried. And I just said, Father, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I don't want the stadiums to roar because I scored a try or had a great scrum or a run with the ball. And that I did in my life. But I believed I was born to become a Springbok. But the day when I realized I was born to bring heaven into a party, and the only way the heaven gets uproar in the part in heaven, like they go crazy on the stadiums when the Bokke plays, is when a lost soul comes home. And when that is your vision, your mission is to say, I also was reading Acts 20 this morning, and there's a place where Paul says to them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and you're not going to see me again. But he says, I'm the only thing that is important to me is to finish this race. Let me just get it. I want to show it to you. It was so amazing now when you said Acts. And there was also a time when I didn't know what was Acts. But Let me just get it here. And he knew that trouble was coming and that he's going to suffer a lot and he's going to die. But he came to a place where he said to them, "But whether I live or die, it's not important, for I don't esteem my life as indispensable. It's more important for me to fulfill my destiny and finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned to me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of God's grace." And that's, if you build on that, if you build on your testimony, God over your testimony. Now, if you go into a place like a prison, the first thing they will see if you are real or not. They pick you up quickly. They discern this guy's plastic. He's just here for a show. He just wants to come and brag of what he got in his life. But when you walk in there and you tell them, "Listen, I've been down and out. I've been the worst that you can meet in your life. But if God, when God's mercy rewrote my life," and you build on your testimony, you build on, I remember one day, Menzo, when I went to Krugersdorp prison after me and Hannah and myself got married, and I took our wedding photos to prison to show them. I didn't have to say anything. Just saying to them, showing them a photo, because they knew before we got married that she was still pure and a virgin when we got married. When I showed them the photos, some of them just started to cry, because what was happening? God was building this amazing, it's not just what I was before Christ came into my life, but after what happened, after Christ came into my life. And that for me is the building process, where God builds you and bolts you up. I often say to them in prison, it's like God puts you in his showcase and he wants to show off with you if you allow him to bolt you into the man or the woman that he wanted you to be, he created you to be. Like you say in Genesis 1, where he says the mandate for us is to rule, to reign, to multiply. What is that? Bolt, bolt, bolt. Be successful. And let my kingdom come, build a kingdom. So I also have a couple of friends in the business world. Their mission every day of their lives is, my business or businesses is there to help build the kingdom of God. And they are successful. They are very successful because it's for them. It's not about making money, and there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money, that's the root of all evil. We met a few people last night, and they're in a bad place in their life financially and trying, and the guy's working, but they don't pay him or pay him on time or pay him what he needs to get. And he said these words to us. He said, "Why is it so difficult for us as Christians to look after each other?" Because if you go to the book of Acts and you look at the church in the book of Acts, they were building together. They were building each other. They were building each other up. How often can we leave a transformation table meeting in the mornings and you feel, I'm ready for this day. It's like I had a spiritual workout this morning. I was building my spirits, my faith. You know, it's so amazing if you get to this place in your life where you say, "Yeah, if I can be faithful in a little, God will build more faith in me, and God will give more to me that He can trust me with." It's like the word says, "Those who has got a lot is expected from them." So, for me, it was from the beginning. Luckily, by God's grace, there was not thousands or millions of rand in account to go to almost 243 prisons for over 16 years through this country. If I had to look at a budget, I would have been at one prison. I wouldn't get to one prison. But it was God's budget. It's God's business. And if you look after God's business, he will look after your business. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will come by itself.
Beautiful, beautiful, Fred. You know, you know my heart. My heart is for that person that's listening today, that sits in, what is the English saying for this? In suck and us, you know, they are obliterated. They've lost the
down and out.
Down and out. Yeah. And say, I can't get a job, buddy. Maybe you're not supposed to be employed. Maybe you should be the employer. Yeah. Fritz, I'm going to put you on the spot here. But I'm going to tell you now, Fritz, you are unemployable. Nobody wants to employ Fritz. Nobody wants to employ Menzo. We are impossible to employ. Yeah. We are too difficult, too stubborn, too want to do it our way. We are unemployable. You are not going to get a job, Fritz. Luckily, you are an employer. You do your thing because of that stubbornness that God has given you to, and you create. You create work. You create jobs. I don't know if you want to jump in, Fritz. You're welcome, if you're welcome or not. But you are my bad news, Fritz. You are not employable.
Yeah, I was sitting and thinking I'm going to try to use the my best English that I can. But I started about 3 weeks ago with a process of buying a new property, a plot here on the here next to the Stanley Road, close to Manny's. And it came through, and all my terms, I made the offer. Offer got approved. But I got a key Monday, and I'm very emotional. This whole thing is just, okay, it was in a company. The company bought it. It's not me personally, but I'm very emotional because I walked into the yard, and I looked at this. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. It stood empty for about 3-4 years. Workshops and everything on it, and I got about 10 of this. I went to down the road of us is a place where we can get some guys that life didn't treat them very well. I got them to come and work for the time period to clean up and so forth. And I stood back and I said, "Yes, Here, ek is so dankbaar. Thanks for this." And previously, daar was 'n bietjie hoogmoedigheid voordat ek my hart vir die Here gegee het. I said, "Yes, just me." And I went and I've got one of the oaks that work for me that's lekker op a geestelike level. And I called him and said, "You need to come here." And we walked through the property and prayed and blessed the property. Here, let it make it that the Holy Spirit guide us to make this to be in honor of you, not of us. And it's nogal lekker om op 'n plek te kan wees that you go, sorry that ek so rondspring, maar ek wil weer huil. Ek is nie gewoonlik huil nie, Freek. Ek is 'n stawwe man, ek is 'n man tussen manne, man. Het so dit my bietjie huis geslaan toe jy gepraat het van mens doen dit vir die Here. En ek hope the blessing and everything going forward will obviously, sorry man, will assist some other people, and through our work and the company we can employ a lot of different people and also help financially and do work of God. And as I said, I've got a good relationship with my pastor, and I phoned him yesterday. I said, "Hey, come and visit." So he came there, and I didn't know when he were coming. I was busy talking to one of the gents, and evangeliseer, ek vra van waar, kom ons bid saam, kom ons praat met mekaar, verstaan, so dis lekker, as ons nie herders is nie, ons het 'n groot playing field, verstaan, so, ja, dis wat my 5 cents, kies.
Awesome, but it's, you know, the ministry field is so powerful in the workplace. Ken, because you reach people that shy away from church. Yeah. How many times have you had a chance to minister there in your workshop at in Kokstad, where you're getting a chance to open up to people that you possibly will never find going to your church. So what I'm trying to say is, I see Freek, with all respect, I see what you do as a business, God's business. You don't have to have a soup kitchen or a formal church to do God's work in your workplace. I don't even see my business as manufacturing cable anymore. It's a school. Yeah. Every single person that works here currently got taught their skills that they use to make the income there. Nobody, there's not a single person that is working there currently that came there with the knowledge to earn their income. Yeah. And that's possibly one of the things that I'm the most proud of. You know, that we can train and equip and empower. And don't make a mistake. I am not the nicest boss. You know, if you are out of line, you're going to get it. You know, I'm going to pull you straight real hard. Sometimes when I walk away, I think to myself, a little prayer. God, thank you that you're not as tough on me as I'm on these guys. You know, because then I might not make it. But go for it, Peter.
Thank you. You know, during my years of ministry, often guys would come to me and say, Pastor, help me get my priorities right. I haven't got enough time in the day and whatever, you know. And so I had to put in a lot of prayer and get my priorities right from the Lord before I could tell people about this. And eventually what God gave me, and I'd like to share that here too, especially to those who are hearing, is people tend to think priorities. Okay, God first, wife second, then the kids, then the business, or business first and God second. But in fact, priorities work this way. In your relationship with God, put God first. In your relationship with your spouse, put God first. In your relationship with your business, put God first. In your relationship with your children and your employees, put God first. And that's the only priority. And Paul speaks of that in the New Testament. He says, in all things, Christ must have the preeminence, the top spot. Nothing else. Your business is merely a vehicle that God blesses you with to generate finance, his finance, for his kingdom. And also then, one of his ways of supplying your family's needs. And so that thing about priorities is that's it in a nutshell. Put God first. There's no specific order. If you put God first, he regulates the order. And there's time, there are days when, for example, if you haven't had your first hour of the day with the Lord, you're wasting the other day hours in the day because you're not going to do too well. And you learn that lesson very quickly. And there are days when your wife needs all your attention. And God will alert you to that. And there are times when you can't spend time with your wife if you haven't played cricket on the grass with the kids. The kids need you first that day. And so it's a flexibility that comes. And so God's business, I like to think of God's affairs rather than business in terms of company and bottom line and profit sharing and stuff like that. It's God's affairs. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Peter, you're talking about the early, get up to spend your time early in the morning. I think, Freek, you'll agree, one of the most famous chirps or sayings on Transformation Table ever was that one when last time we were dancing around this discussion, when the guy said he doesn't have enough time in his day to do his business. And Willem said to him, Butaiki, je moet vroeger wakker worden.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That was, get up earlier. If you've got a lot to do today, don't work late tonight. Get up earlier in the morning. But get up earlier than you need to do your business. Go and get into some quiet time and get instructions. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Freek, you've got your hand up.
Yes, I'd want to come back to what you said about luckily, or was it what God is not the type of businessman that you are. You're hard on your people. But to be honest, let's be honest, God is not easy on us. No. He says, make disciples. What is a disciple making? It's discipline them. And yes, he does it in love. But if God tells you to do something and you don't want to lay it down and get it out of your life, he's not going to bargain with you and give you an easy way out. There is an easy way out through Christ Jesus, yes. But I've learned over the years, believe me, I almost lost a bag of cement over the last couple of years in weight. That's a lot of weight that I carried with me. And then you want to bargain with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I've done this now, again me, but it was him who gave me the grace to start doing something about it. But now you get to that and you say, okay, I broke this barrier. Now let's go for the next one. And it's like the Lord says, I'll be with you. But no pain, no gain, no prayer, no gain. It's like the Lord is, he knows, and he's like your person. The Holy Spirit is, with all respect, is your personal trainer, your helper. And he's going to take you through tough times. And if the Lord tells you, often I speak to men and they say, my business doesn't want to work. And we have a chat and I ask him, tell me something. What is your struggle in secret? And how often I hear porn. I'm struggling with porn. And say, okay, all right, we're honestly now. So you want to continue with this, but you expect God to do what he needs to do. He says, lay it down. Get it out of your life. He wants to deliver you and set you free from it. But if you can continue with that, I went and they asked me to go and pray for an old man one day and for him, lung cancer. Pray that the Lord healed him. And when I walked into the room, oxygen on him. But next to him, an ashtray full of cigarette stompies. Still smoking, but expecting the Lord to heal him. And the, it's like the people in Mark 5 when Jesus delivered that demon possessed guy, when they saw the pigs run into the sea, for maybe the sharks ate them up, and they ran to the people in the city and in town and say, come see and come look. And what did the people do? The Lord came and sought out their problem, what they prayed about. Do something about this madman. The Lord did it. But what did they say? Please leave us. You know, come sort out our problems in South Africa, Lord, but don't touch our pigs. Don't tell us to do something about our pigs in our life. And I'll be honest with you, and maybe you're in disagreement with me, but I'm telling you, by God's grace, over the last 24 years, I never had a coach like the Holy Spirit. He's not easy on you. If he tells you, you don't speak to your wife like that. You need to change your voice. You need to change your actions. And so, yeah, Menzo. Coming back to this guy last night, and this is a thing that we also spoke to about in the beginning with the transformation table and entrepreneurship. I asked this guy, what do you have in your hand? And he's got an amazing bread my wife went to one of his courses, and even in my weight loss journey now, I can eat this bread every day of my life. I love bread. I love bread. And I'm having this bread every day of my life. It's a sourdough that she bakes herself. But you don't pick up weight. You don't get heartburn. There's no symptoms like your normal breads that you get. And this is a very healthy bread. And I said to him, but people are so health concerned nowadays. We need to take this thing in your hand and build on that. Allow God to build on that. Train more people. Your vision is only 6 people on a Saturday. Say to yourself, we can train 1,000 people online. And immediately there was a, sure, but you need to do something. Don't expect God. What's in your hand? Remember that chat we had one morning? And one of the guys asked, he said, what can I do? Where must I start? And it was like one voice. What's in your hand? And normally it's that passion thing that you are so passionate about. Yeah, and it's all about, God's business is all about people. I said to this guy, if you want to start, and I'm thankful towards the Lord, over the last 2 months, especially the month and a half, I really focus on my YouTube channel, and I can see the fruit in the hard work that I'm putting in. Even YouTube says to me, continue what you are doing. You're on the right way. You're on the right track. But the passion to add value to people, to build people up, to help people, makes a success out of it. So, Menzo, that morning, and I just felt now that we need maybe just to build on that a bit more. What's in your hand? And give that to God and allow God to build that. That's where faith comes in. One of these days, we need to speak about fear. Mm. You know, fear, and God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And I don't want to go there. That's a different topic. But what's in your hand?
What's the need in your environment?
Yeah.
You know, identify the need. How many times, I mean, Jeff Bezos is one of those guys that say, what is the need? He just sorted out the need, and it made him a fairly wealthy dude.
And the need is the calling.
Yes.
There's people looking for healthy bread. We, especially Afrikaners, we love our bread. You've got the healthy bread that we can, you know, every morning in this house, in this family of mine, when that broekie in the bread is in the oven, you know how it smells in this house. You can't wait for that thing to come out. And I don't know what helped me, guys. What is the corsi?
The crust.
The crust. There's only one in this house that gets the crust. And that's me. Like a warm with butter. And it's like, take it to dad. It's his. And so you've got it in your hand. You know how to do this. You can train people. You can equip people. How many moms will do what they want to give their kids children healthy food? We stay in a time and we live in a world where food is so, there's so much poison in foods in that we need to help. And especially we as believers, again, stand together, help to each other and say, I said to him, Eamon, I don't understand it, but I don't pick up weight. Why? I cheated the other day and I had a pizza. That night I knew I cheated because of heartburn. you know, and he's got a base. I don't want to sell this product now, but coming back to, hey, you've got it already in your hand. Just build in, trust God with it. Give it to God. He gave it to you, and he trusted you with that. Now you can make surely trust him. Yes, you're often not going to see the hand of God, but I can tell you, you can always trust his heart. God is faithful. And yeah, if you trust God and rely on God, God will make a success out of it.
You know, Freek, you're talking about the food. I worked with a Chinese company, and they got me an interpreter to work with me, very knowledgeable. The guy was actually a potter, you know, and but he spoke English well, and they asked him to come and help with translating. And when I took him back to the airport, I said to him, Rainbow, his name was Rainbow Shi. And I said to him, Rainbow, what will you take back? What can you give me a comment about South Africa? And he said, I'm amazed with all this beautiful soil that you guys have, that your vegetables are such poor quality and so expensive.
Sure.
And it blew my mind, because I thought vegetables are cheap in South Africa.
Mm. Yeah.
Until I went to China. And I realized the difference in quality and the price. Yeah. And this weekend we were preparing a dinner, myself and Dries, and he brought out a jar of olives. So he said, taste this. And I love olives. You know, I wonder sometimes who, and there's so many beautiful stories about olives in the Bible, but who decided to take an olive and try and make something nice out of it? I mean, an olive off the tree is an awful thing. Yeah. Any case, and he brought out this jar of olives, and he said, taste this. And I tasted it. I said, yo, these are really good. Where did you buy them? Yeah. And immediately my question was, how much did you pay for them? Because you know, they tasted expensive. And he says, no, we made it at home. And I said, which home? He says, no, at our plot just around the corner from Fritz. And I said, but olive trees can't grow there. He says, you will be amazed. I've got three olive trees in my lapa. And I thought, these things were heap high. And he says, yes. They harvested so much olives from those little couple of trees. You know, and I thought, wow. You know, if you can harvest so many olives from three little trees, what is the potential? And I mean, it would have been great if Atman was with us, you know, the gardener and our team. But Ken told me a story a while ago. He said they're doing better by selling the grazing that he harvests than having the sheep grazing and selling the sheep. And so there's so much potential. You know, I know of a guy that he studied agriculture, and he lived in a townhouse complex. And he went around to the people in the townhouse complex, and he said, "Listen here, guys, there's some patches of soil, you know, little gardens around the buildings that is not looking great. Would you guys mind if I plant some vegetables there? You know, we're not going to plant flowers and make it look pretty. I'm going to plant some vegetables." Hey, plant some vegetables. It became a whole business, because he started planting vegetables, had too much vegetables for himself and his wife, and then started selling the vegetables to the people in the complex, and they loved him for it. Yeah, you know, it was not the cool thing here wasn't he didn't have a little shop inside the complex. The vegetables were there. All he did was looked after the vegetables. The people would go and harvest fresh vegetables out of the garden and just bring him some money. No. And he said, this is madness. Why would the guys bring me the money? But it's because of gratitude. They could walk out of their little townhouse, go and pick some tomatoes that is beautiful. I mean, if you had a tomato that was just picked, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You know, there's nothing different about a tomato that has just been picked. And he said, all I did was I just planted these things and looked after them. You know, there's so much that can be done. You know, my dream for South Africa is for the business is not, South Africa is not going to get saved by the big businesses, the corporates. It's going to be saved. People are going to stop going hungry in the masses when they, when that guy that's listening today, that young girl that's listening, that mom that's listening, decide I'm going to do something about this. Start small. You know, you actually started off the meeting great, Freek. Never despise a small beginning. Yeah. Fritz, go for it.
Yeah, I just want to take everything together now. Say the main thing, if you can get to a point in your life and you can snap, you can realize the value of snap the value of a soul, then you share a Jesus heart, a Jesus, the heart of Jesus, then everything will be broken open for you. Freek, when you spoke now, I want to read something here. It was very difficult because I know I read it a while back and I went to, and I first time reading it out of my English Bible. So I just got it quickly. Can I read it quickly? And that is Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Is that not precious to understand that if you give your heart to Christ, he will give you a new spirit, a new heart, a new mindset. You don't need to do it yourself. You just give over to him and obey. Say, okay, God, I'm here. Carry on. Take over. It is a belofte. It is a belofte that he ons gaan verander. He will change you. It's not, we don't need to do everything out of ourselves and fight on your own. You fight it with God. You fight it, take his hand, and he will lead you. If you give the Holy Spirit a chance and totally, not your Russian beer vodka spirit, but the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not gonna share the body with the other spirit. We need to understand something. And as soon as you gesnap het dat hoe kosbare siel is, dat die engele gaan juig. The spirits, alle engele juig dat vir elke siel wat hulle hart vir die Here gee en oorgee. Sorry vir jou Engels spreek. Ek sien jy lag lekker vir my.
Frits Klome, ek sal nooit laugh vir 'n man wat sukkel met die Engels nie. Nee, wat is grys hierdie taal om te praat. Hey.
You know what, I want to quickly, Frits, I have to tell you the story quickly. So one of our last Comfort camp, there was a guy, a redhead Scotsman that came to the camp. I told the story before, I think. And there was only, you know, on the table, the guys put the old Bibles or bring Bibles if somebody wants to take a Bible home. And he's never had a Bible in his life. So he walked past the table and he wanted to go. Peter said to him, go spend some time with God. You know, ask him, are you real? So he decided he's going to take a walk into the veld, and he grabbed one of the Afrikaans Bibles. And firstly, he's very English. Secondly, it's the first time in his life that he's had a Bible in his hand. And he opened the Bible and he started reading, and God translated it for him. He said, I understood the words. He said, I understood what God was telling me while I was reading this. So, we need to worry about Afrikaans and English. It's going to be okay. Peter, go for it.
Actually, now you've made me forget what I was going to say.
Sorry, Peter.
Gaan on.
So guys, we need to end the meeting, but we were just kicking the ball around this morning and having some fun. And I think the idea is, if you've got some business friends, or Freek, your friend that wants to, hopefully wants to start baking or teaching how to bake that bread, invite him for next week to come and sit around the transformation table. We are going to have an interesting discussion. And this is how this discussion started, actually. I spoke to Leon, and he says, "How are you doing?" I said, "I am furious. I am blowing flames." He says, "What's happening?" I said, "No, I'm standing at the back of my factory. I created a safe area, so that my guys, in the industrial area, the guys are the guys come in with trucks and they hit the companies and they steal all their products, and they then also rob the people working in the factory. So we try and be very safety conscious." And I walked out, and here was one of my guys at the back door buying cookies. And I said to him, "But I made an area where you can be safe to do that. Now you are doing this funny thing. Why? You're putting us all in harm's way." And while I was telling this to Leon, being very upset, he started laughing and he says, "Isn't that our story with God? Aren't we all guilty of that?" Yeah. He creates this safe area for us where we can move in. And then we go behind the back door and we get up to nonsense. And he looks at us and says, "What are you doing here? What are you doing? I have sorted this problem out for you. Now you're going in that back door." That stuff that we're talking about. What did you call it, Frick? Gin, what? Whiskey, gin, and what?
Wet spirits, vodka spirits, what they call.
Okay. Or Frick, the porn, or the relationship you're having with another woman while you're married. All that things God creates us this beautiful marriage so that you can have a space, safe space. And then you decide, "I need also to have another relationship." And so that's how we just started this discussion. And then we said, "Well, why don't we do this on the transformation table? Let's have this business discussion, Kingdom Foundation." And, so I'm excited for next week. Please invite some people, business people that want to start businesses. Guys, listen in to the podcast if you can't make it for Thursday morning. But I think we are going to have some real revelation.
Can I ask you guys to excuse me? Sorry, man. I've just got stuff to do. Sorry, man.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to finish this meeting now in any case, Fritz. Peter, you had your hand up.
I'd rather give Benno a chance.
Okay, Benno? Sorry, Benno, I didn't see you, Andrew.
Good morning, Menzo. Morning, everybody. I am not sure about how many people, and maybe they can comment, knows and realizes at one stage in their life about lost opportunities. When I went on pension, this is the first thing that God put on my heart, that I had a number of opportunities to build and to bring the gospel of God to a lot of people, especially younger people asking me about how to start their business and so on. So what I did was I started one by one. I made a list, and I started within my own family and within my own grandchildren of thinking about lost opportunities and then fixing that. And I was amazed about the reaction that I got. People that were waiting for me to come and talk to them about the opportunity that I had that I didn't use. And I asked the forgiveness of God, and I know that I had it. And now I do them one by one. And every time I've not had one failure yet. And I'm not sure why. And in my quiet time, I ask God, why are you giving this to me? I haven't had the answer as yet, but I know that God is doing it out of love. And I know that he's got me on the right path. I'm not in the particular position right now, Menzo, where I'm running my business. I'm on pension, but this is my contribution, and maybe other people can also advise me. Did they have failures? Did they have opportunities which they didn't use? And what are they doing about it? But that's what I'm doing. That's my contribution for the day.
Well, you know, that wealth of information that you've got is so needed. You can hear the engineer in the background. You know, there's a concern that he's not had a failure yet, you know, because you know, that's a typical engineering way to see things. You know, if it's not failed yet, we are not doing it right. You know, but the what I'm saying is, we need to empower the people on advice. And you know, the best advice I've ever got in my life, you know, the couple of times, were very simple things. Simple things. I almost want to say, I knew it, I just needed permission to use it. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping to achieve with this journey. And Freek, we've kicked this ball around before. And Umbeno, I want to please ask you to be with us on this bit of a path. We'll see how it goes next week, and then if we continue. But I think there's, you know, it is difficult, Freek, to preach to somebody that's hungry. Yeah, it is easy to show love through cooking a plate of food. I think that's why. I don't think I'm a good cook or chef. I don't think so at all. I think it's just a way for me to love someone else. You know? And that is what makes me do what I like to do. You know, I'm excited about it. Let's put some effort in. Invite some people. You know, and ask your friend that you know, he's going to get that little answer that is specific for him, that is just going to get him to get into the lane that he needs to be in. You know, I'm sure of it, and that's what I'm hoping to achieve. And that's why we were kicking the ball around today, friendly and peacefully. You know, and you know, again, if I may just finish off with the way we started. You know, just honoring Ken for the man he is, for his children, his grandchildren. The same with Umbeno. You know, I spent some time with one of Umbeno's son-in-laws. And, you know, for a son-in-law to spend time to explain to you how much respect he's got for his father-in-law, you know, unprovoked. I didn't say to him, tell me about Umbeno, you know. We were sitting having a cup of coffee early in the morning, looking at the sun coming up, and he just shared his heart with me. Yeah, that is something. Yeah, Freek, the opportunity to see your children every day, yeah, that they want to come and visit you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you were a tough dad. You are a tough dad. Yeah, that your kids are not running away from you. They want to spend time with you when they have a choice. Then you know this is a guy that has got it's got many, many blessings and many, many levels. You know, it's like an onion, lots of layers of blessings. And that comes from endurance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know that I don't know how much trouble this is gonna create, but yeah, I knew that it's gonna be uncomfortable in my house when my son gets a hiding. It's not gonna be nice. But I still did it.
Mm.
Yeah, it wasn't nice for him. Me, it wasn't nice for him. My wife would be angry at me. The dog wants to bite me. But yeah, I did what I had to do. to get to a point where a man with discipline. I explained to him yesterday, we were driving, and I said to him, the trick is, do what you have to do when you have to do it. Then you can do what you want to when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Put that, try and figure that one out. Do what you have to do when you have to. Then you can do what you want to when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The discipline of not that instantaneous gratification. I don't feel like doing that chore now. I will do what I want. I will go and play Xbox or whatever, right? Or say, you know, let me do my chore. Then there's no argument. Yeah. You teach that to your kids from small. And one day, he figures, you don't have to tell him anymore. He figured that out by himself. Peter?
Make your bed first thing every morning. You know, we've heard so much preaching over the last couple of years that God loves you, God will never leave you, and almost like he's your friend, you know. But it's got to the point where people think of God as their chummy, and he's not your chummy. He's not your chummy. He's friendly towards you. But he has promised to present you spotless before the Father. Jesus has promised. Now, either you're going to let him do it his way, or you're going to try and do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, he's going to present you spotless. Either, you know, you're going to learn. I think that's where we get the saying, if you won't listen, you will feel. And if necessary, God loves you so much that if necessary, he will bring you flat on your back, that the only way you can look is up. And people have got the wrong idea about God. Yes, he does love you. And it is unconditional. But there are boundaries and things in place. And people need to come back to a healthy fear of the Lord. Not being scared of God, but having a reverence for a holy God. Take off your shoes, for you are walking on holy ground. We need to come back to that.
Peter, you know, I want to second that. You know, I don't know if you felt the shift. But for me, I felt the shift in our campfire camps. The moment we announced, and you know, I'm sure you know already where I'm going. We did this thing a couple of camps ago because we would say, right, guys, it's ready to dish up. We'll pray, and the guys will get in line to dish up. And the youngsters would dish up first. And we said, no, that's not going to work anymore. The gray guys. You start, you dish up first, and then the youngsters. There was a shift in the atmosphere in our camp because we were out of the way God planned it. Yeah.
Oh.
And the moment that happened, where Peter and the guys dish first, order was restored. There was
a shift.
And it should be like that.
Yeah.
It should be like that, Freek. Honor, you know, the guys say we don't have enough time in our day. Listen to this theory. And this is just my madness in my head and my theory. Honor your father and your mother so that your days will be long. It's the only commandment with a reward. I always thought, okay, if I honor my father and my mother, I will get old. It's not. I've got more hours in my day. My day is long. Right. So if you're not getting your work done, go honor your father and your mother. Get more hours for your day.
Yeah. You see, those priorities that are listed, the Bible is all about showing honor. Eerbetoon.
Yes.
Honor God. honor God. In your relationship with your wife, honor God. It's all about honoring God, sowing seeds of honor, and you will reap what you sow.
Your children need to see that you honor your father and your mother so that they can honor their father and mother when it's their time. Yeah. And there's lots that we can talk about here, but these are basic principles. I'm sure next week we're going to learn some really basic stuff. This is not going to be high grade stuff. This is not going to be university stuff. I'm sure we're going to learn some really simple, basic stuff that changes your business, your family, your financial situation. It's all here. You know, when Angus calls this his agricultural handbook. This is your how to train your children handbook, how to run your business handbook, how to look after your marriage handbook, how to look after your health handbook, Freak. Yeah, all those things. Looking forward to next week. As I say, invite some people with that that wants to learn about business. Freak, I'm excited about this. Yeah. Not the guys that's already going. Yeah. Not the guys that's already going and gonna learn new tricks, if I may be so naughty. I'm excited about this for that youngster, yeah, that mother that is struggling to look after her, the single mother that's struggling to look after her three boys, you know, learning how to do this. Yeah, we should not be, there should be no poverty. There should be zero poverty.
A quick testimony yes. From my side. One of the girls at the youth ministry, somebody offloaded a whole lot of pallets, wooden pallets, and she got one of the guys to knock one into like a garden shed, and she has opened a hairdressing business on the property, and she started with the girls and the guys in the house, and now people are coming in the gate.
Oh.
And the initiative is amazing. But it's God is the creator of all things. You honor him, ask him for what's in your hand, and he will show you, and he will open a door that no man can close. And he will connect you to the right people in the right way at the right time for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Peter, that is such a beautiful explanation. A pair of scissors and a comb. And you've got a business. I've got a niece that that had a salon. Yeah, she was making serious money. Yeah, from starting with one chair, and cutting the girl's hair, the lady's hair, to having a couple of chairs, and she would have it in a shop in a nice area, and renting out those chairs to other girls, and she often helped girls that was in trouble to teach them the skill of hairdressing. Yeah. Can you get more simple than that? A scissor and a comb. Yeah, obviously, there's lots of other fancy tools. Ken, enjoy your birthday, and we'll think of you on Saturday. How simple. There's so many things that you can do that you do not need a fancy tools or equipment for. Yeah, there's so many, many things. Yeah, a spade and a garden fork. Yeah, and you start a garden service. You know, I get so excited. There's guys here that you see they've got their bicycle with a little trailer that's behind the bicycle, and then there's a rake and a broom and a lawnmower and a weed eater. And I think to myself, buddy, you're my type of guy. You're my type of guy. Yeah. And if you're in China, you see a lot of that. Yeah. Motorbikes with little sidecars that built from pieces of steel. And there's everything on there, from rakes and to vacuum cleaners and, you name it. There's things that the guys do on a simple basis that they do. And you have to start. Yeah. And provide. There's many, many plans that can be made. So I'm looking forward to this. And remember, Henry wrote a book as well. I think I've got it here. You can ask him, Henry, that he send you one. I think I gave my last one away. I'll get him
Bible
to bring us
some.
Yeah, Bezigheid Bible Beginsels. Powerful book. Powerful book. Yeah. Great stuff. Guys, thank you very much for a great morning. Looking forward to next week.
Last question from me, Menso.
Yeah.
How much of this entrepreneurial spirit that you have did you get from your dad?
Sure. Peter, I actually think I got it from my mom.
The reason why I'm asking that is because I'm sure Anthony would say to you that those who are fatherless really struggle in this area.
Yeah, Peter, you know what? I'm going to ask my mom and dad, but I think I got it from my mom. My mom is the entrepreneur. My dad is the engineer. My mom is the entrepreneur. You know, my mom had many businesses, very successful businesses. In a time from hairdresser, my mom was trained as a hairdresser, to making having a seamstress shop with some ladies making lingerie, you know, very fancy lingerie, to a tea garden. And I'm sure if I think about it, there will be a couple of other things. You know, my mom is the entrepreneur in our family. Yeah. But there's so many examples out there, you know, that the people that taught me about business was mentors, you know. And I saw something yesterday. We're just chatting now, you know. I saw something yesterday that was so beautiful. Me and my son had to go and quickly do something. And we sort of, in the meeting, you know, I hate it when it happens because I can only be at one place at one time and listen to one thing at a time. You know, but sometimes the meeting sort of split. And then I'm busy with this guy and he's busy with the other guy. And I was overhearing their conversation with an older gentleman. And this gentleman was just flowing with information. He was just giving him, may I almost say, his trade secrets. His wisdom and knowledge and secrets was passed to my son. But I could hear my son treating this guy with so much respect. You know, and I wondered who taught him that, because it wasn't me, I think. But he was treating this guy with so much respect. And this guy was just, it was like he's pouring buckets of information and blessing on him. You know, in my mind's eye, I could see these big, you know, 25-liter paint buckets of blessing that he was pouring onto my son. And it was because of this beautiful respect that he had for this guy. If you treat your mentors with respect, they will bless you. Yeah. Don't do it because you want it. Do it because that's who you are. Yeah.
It's back to honoring.
Respect. It's back to honoring. Yeah. Honor the guy for the knowledge he has. Yeah. I tell you, it breaks my heart when a guy approaches me and he's asking for work and he's got, I can see in his eyes that he hates my guts. Yeah. And then I say, but how is this? You know, how is this going to work? How can I teach you if you cannot listen to me? Yeah. Yeah. It's a mind change. We think it's about what you have and how much money you need to loan at the bank and how much knowledge you have to start a business. It's not, guys. It's not. It's here. Not knowledge. It's having the right mindset. Yeah. Are you prepared to work hard? Are you prepared to get up early? Are you prepared to honor the people that can mentor you? Are you prepared to get calluses on your hands? I remember when Pete, he said, guys, you guys with the calluses that work so hard, your wife doesn't want to hold your hand. Get dubbin. Rub your hands with dubbin so they can be soft.
What is important for me of our whole discussion this morning, thank you for every input from every individual. It is valuable. I can't drink enough of what my brothers in Jesus Christ said. But when you look at Isaiah 65, the Lord exactly explained there, those who follow him, what is his grace over them? From verse 8 up to verse 10, God gives you the grace to those who follow him. But the heading there is, God of the Lord will punish the guilty. And exactly what we discussed this morning, God gave to us as reading in Isaiah 65. Just do that, and then you don't follow God for his blessings. It is just his grace, because you built the relationship. Listen to his voice and do what he, in hyphens, require from you. That is just a little bit of reading I give you as my brothers and my sisters. Thank you.
Absolutely. Don't look at God's hand. Look at his face. Yeah. Yeah. Again, Freek, you know that when Wim is a doc, he's got his doctorate in labor relations. When Wim can maybe explain to us what industrial sociology. You know, here's a guy that has got the knowledge of speaking to the people out there about your business. And Wim, we would love to have your inputs on this in the discussions. Next week, you know, about there needs to be a mind shift about it's not wanting. I want. It's about what can I give, and that changes the whole game. So exciting times for us.
What you require, I will do it. It will be a theoretical discussion or a scientific discussion. However, it can be done because I have clarity in my mind how to do it and how God expects us to think and behave. And it will be a little scientific with models and so forth, but I unfortunately will not be able to. Wait a bit. I can take my wife's, my wife's PC, and I can probably work from there. But let's see if that is your requirement.
Thank you. Yeah, so we'll kick the ball off with Leon next week, and then we'll see where this takes us, Freek. I'm excited.
Amen.
Yeah. One day, hopefully, we can have a testimony of a young man starting his plumbing business with a Boyan spanner and on his bicycle, and it becomes a multinational. Which employs 1,000 people. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us at the Transformation Table. Until next time, keep growing, keep walking in purpose, and stay about God's business.